Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? Out of all of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, "Into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong, you held on tightly to me. Yes, you did, yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Mm-hmm. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over."
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. And welcome to our Ramadan special, our first Ramadan special for the month, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We hope that you're in a learning mode and tuned into the program with a focus on examining sound approaches to finding a mate. Do's and the don'ts. The prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. This particular lab offers the opportunity for you to lead, provide for you a memorial, beautiful wedding day, and fulfilling marriage with faith, affection, and peace and joy. With that, I bring to you your hosts for tonight's show, Mark Shaheed and Dr. Khalida Akbar. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak to you both.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to Khalida Akbar, and to our very distinguished radio listening audience. I want to say assalamu alaikum and wa Ramadan Mubarak. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshiped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed, along with Khalida Akbar, as the hosts, facilitators, and producers of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And as Rashid Salam has said, this is a special, special edition as we cut back on the blessed month of Ramadan. Excuse me, I have a little cough and a little dry throat, fasting, and also pardon me there. So tonight we have a special, and it'll run through the blessed month of Ramadan, and we want you to know the theme of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab for the month of Ramadan is Ramadan, how it benefits the sacred institution of marriage when two become one. Yeah, yes, that's the theme for the whole month. We'll be looking at various aspects in terms of how Ramadan benefits the sacred institution of marriage. Before we get to our overview and all, and bring our distinguished co-host, just wanted to just say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in for the first time, this Learning Lab, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is almost 8.5 years old. And we want you to know that it does have a foundation for dissemination of information, education, and 4 sources we use. First is Al-Quran, which is the final revelation that Almighty God, Allah, given to all of humanity. Secondly, it's a life example of the prophet in actually living the Quran, and that's Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. Thirdly, it's a tafsir, the clear explanation by Imam Wathuddin Muhammad, his scholarly insight that Allah blessed him with. And fourthly, we utilize social science in terms of the study, the research, and all the social science have done, even when it comes to the human creation and their findings and all. And we also want you to know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is about the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, in which after Ramadan, we're going to be taking a look at courtship and have, I think, some great information that we will rejuvenate and bring back to you, those who are thinking about marriage or maybe already in a courtship, and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. So with that being said, it has become a tradition ever since the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab has been in session, going all the way back to October the 13th in the year 2015 to have an overview from the previous learning lab. And for that, our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Khalila Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak to you, Khalila Akbar.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Brother Mark Shahid, and our listening audience. We are excited to be here with you today, and also Brother Rashid Salam, I'm returning the greetings to you as well. I am here with my daughter in Greensboro and just had a beautiful day in her class. She is the second-year teacher. She graduated from this college here, so I was coming to observe some concerns she had, and we had a really interesting day, but alhamdulillah, it went really well. She is like just the epitome of a teacher who is just trying to give her 100% all and doing a really good job, because she works at a school that is typically, it's not a public school, but it's more like a charter school that prepares a lot of students for high achievement. And she has a situation where she has first graders, but they rotate the first graders like they do in middle school. So she has all these first graders that she's teaching reading to. And reading generally in ELA is what carries the school. And she was always my child that was the avid reader, the high achiever. She read books all the way through her preteen years. She was always in a book. And now she had this beautiful letter that a little girl wrote her yesterday that she thanked her for helping her learn how to read. And she said that she really loved her and that she would continue to read. But she just said, thank you so much for helping me read. Now I'm able to read chapter books. And she loves Junie B. Jones. And it was just so heartfelt to me. So I'm just here dedicating my Ramadan to family and community, but making sure that I am just in the moment with my children and in their life as well, because I think that was inspired this for me to do, because usually I'm typically at iftar every night helping at the committees at the masjid, but I just want to balance that out. And so I'm really feeling at peace right now. We just left. I'm in the car. She's already pulled out, so because typically they get out early, but we were helping a coworker write, because we're both creative writers, and a coworker had something that she needed to write, and me and my daughter were able to help her get it done, so mashallah. So with that said, I am elated to give a brief overview of last week. We typically started out talking about marriage, but we ended up, Brother Mark Shahid sparked an interesting conversation on Brother William Kareem's program that was titled, one of his programs, Why Muslims Don't Want to Get Married. And so we talked a lot about inner peace and finding, being in touch with yourself and finding that mate that will complement you in ways, physically, spiritually, socially, intellectually, and of course, you know, in your intellectually and also in your God-given talents or Khalifa mission. And I say that a lot, but that to me is very important. And even noticing what Brother Mark's topic is today, how to become one, just making sure that it is balanced. We are becoming one in that marriage tie, but you're also two very distinct people who are also living life to the fullest and doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires you to do. So I'm interested in learning more about helping people tie that knot, become one, but also have respect and regard for each other's intellect and also each other being able to yield to one another like we talked about before and allow each other to, in turns, because sometimes you have to do it in turns, go, you know, help each other reach their goals. You might have to take a back seat for a while, but it's all in love and support of one another. And if you are truly connected and truly tied to one another, you still reap the benefit and you still reap the blessings of that sacrifice for that each other. And when you bring it together, both of you prosper together. And that's the beauty of uniting in one. And so last week, going back to what we talked about,
We talked a lot about just couples and why they are sustainable, their sustainable marriages, and then the lack of communication in some areas that are is a big factor in why some just aren't sustainable. Brother Mark, is that you? I hear some heavy breathing or something. But my thing is this. I really wanted to focus today because it's Ramadan on positive aspects of marriage.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that we are growing each time that we come. We bring another perspective to the table and not have just one-sided
let me take it from here. Last week the main focus, two things. What we wanted to do, it was part open line Q&A, but also having a topic in terms of mindsets, different mindsets, and why a person may not want to be married again. And this is very, very important because it actually was addressing persons with different types of mindsets. And we know that socialization, acculturation can be a big factor in terms of the type of mindset it is, has actually developed in our young people's lives. And so sometimes the stigma of what it is they may have experienced in their younger life or the impressions, which is a duality, can at times be negative. And so obviously they will be impressed by the negativity, even though that there were two people together physically existing. But outside of that, they were never connected. There was never any relativeness that's there. There was never really union. And this is very important, dear believers, in regards to that. We're going to be, in the future, we're going to be talking more about what constitutes marriage, not the facade that oftentimes Western society presents. So I gave about 11 different mindsets, 11 different minds that oftentimes will have and develop throughout their life. And this gets up to the point whereas that now they're ignoring what it is that Almighty God Allah has established. So we have to understand, just in a nutshell, we have to understand that Allah is the one that establishes the sacred institution of marriage. But it becomes what it is that we have to learn in life to make that sustainable relationship so that we can get benefits of the sacred institution of marriage. And that's on both parts, both parties in that regard. So, in thinking about this is the blessed month of Ramadan, and that segue way into the theme for tonight and for the subsequent 3 weeks, I sit down and just solitude and just thought about it and said Ramadan and how Ramadan brings benefits to the sacred institution of marriage when two become one. So let me explain that to our radio listening audience in regards to that. The sacred institution of marriage is, first and foremost, it is God's institution. It's not our institution, it's God's institution. And we know that Allah has said in the Quran, I have prescribed fasting for you, like I have prescribed fasting for those before you, so that you may learn self-restraint, self-management, self-control, self-discipline. Okay, so that's for the individual. But it also doesn't just stay with the individual. So the sacred institution of marriage is also designed for the same thing. for the self-management, the self-control, the self-discipline, the self-restraint, even in the sacred institution of marriage. As Rashid Salam and myself yesterday, we looked at the benefits that the sacred institution of family life, how Ramadan benefits the family life. So tonight we're going to look at, we're going to cover, inshallah, two arenas, one being physical benefits and social benefits. In the subsequent learning labs, we'll look at the emotionality benefits. We'll look at the intellectual or mental benefits. And, yes, we'll look at the spiritual benefits that Blessed Month of Ramadan and will it's not about the gender. We're talking about, and let me make it clear here, we're talking about two Muslims, two men, two believers in regards to this. So these would be the ones that would actually be undertaking this fast or subscribing to the prescription that Allah has given to all of us. And we want to look at how it will benefit. So, Khalil Akbar, you know, one of the things in terms of looking at the physical benefit is, and just generally speaking, and maybe say a lot of marriages, husband-wife relationship, I would say even in the Muslim community, because of the hectic pace that we have in this microwave society, going here, going there, doing this, doing that, it's a blessing to be able to sit down with your spouse maybe and have at least one meal together. And generally speaking, that may be dinner time, but you always don't see that for lunch. Maybe a special occasion, you might be able to have lunch together, or even have breakfast together. But in the sacred, but in the blessed month of Ramadan, we have what is called suhoor, and that's an early light breakfast that is part of the tradition of the Prophet. And if you got the two believers that are actually married, they get up early enough to take that in to help to sustain and maintain themselves throughout the day of fasting. This year, we're looking at about 14, maybe 15 hours in terms of actual fasting, depending on when you stop eating, you know, before in terms of sunrise and everything. So this affords another opportunity where husband and wife can actually physically be together, sitting at the table, eating a light meal before having to make Salat al-Fajr and perhaps being engaged in reading together the Quran together. This is one of the things. And another thing, Akbar, another benefit that I saw is that oftentimes Ramadan helps us to be more conscious about our health, only because the fact that we know that during the daylight hours, we're not going to be eating anything. And so it makes us more conscious about healthy foods. You know, we want to eat in the morning foods that would have protein and nutrients that's in it to help us to sustain and maintain ourselves, to be more conscious about getting your water intake so that you don't dehydrate. Ramadan helps to bring a consciousness to both the husband and the wife together in that regard. Khalil Akbar, you have any comments in terms of that or anything that you would like to add to that in terms of physical benefits?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Ramadan increases our awareness in all areas of our life, especially in our healthy lifestyles that we, inshallah, are striving to attain. We know that we're not going to be able to eat or drink throughout the day, so we make sure that we have a well-balanced breakfast. We're taking extra care to make sure if we take vitamins or any type of medication that you're getting that in early in the morning with a healthy like breakfast. In addition to that, you are making sure your life, as Mark Shahid said, as Brother Mark Shahid said, that you are taking in your fluid intake as much as you can in the morning so you do not dehydrate. And that is very, very important because that would be unhealthy for us, and it would not allow us to be able to complete our fast if we had became dehydrated.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, thank you so much for that. And, a few years back, the question came up in terms of, for married couples, because obviously during the daylight hours, we ought to refrain from eating and drinking. And if you're married, in terms of conjugal relations during the day. So the question came up in terms of, can you kiss your spouse? Can you hug your spouse? So my response to that, we always want to utilize from an Islamic base, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all actions and matters are judged by your niyyah, by your intention, your pure intention, your pure motivation. Yes, you can kiss your spouse, but it wouldn't be that 25, 30-second lip lock that you might be accustomed to doing. And it wouldn't be this type of hug, where I can't let go, because we want to be obedient. We want to be obedient in what it is that Allah has ordered for us to do and what's off limits. Now, these are natural urges that Allah put in both human beings in that regard. But remember, what's the objective? You go back to the Quran again, so that you may learn self-control, self-management, self-discipline, and self-restraint in that regard. So if there's no intention in terms of that, there's no intention of arousal or anything in that regard, then that is permissible to do that and all. It's not like you can't touch your spouse, but it's not in terms of trying to arouse conjugal relations. So let's be clear in regards to that. Also, when we look at physically actually getting together in the blessed month of Ramadan, it's not that husband and wife don't pray together. The more that you can pray together, we heard that saying, those who pray together, they stay together. And I don't think that originated from the Muslim community, but nevertheless, good information is good information in that regard. But there are more prayers that are made at this time of the year in the blessed month of Ramadan. And so now this helps to bring, when we talk about bonding, bringing those two even closer together in terms of actually praying together in the extra prayers that are actually being made, whereas that maybe outside the month of Ramadan, this may not would be happening, or that happening in terms of physically coming together and making the salat together and additional prayers in the blessed month of Ramadan. Also, we look at in terms of what also has become a tradition in the Muslim community, and that's reading the Quran. Well, when you were unmarried, maybe you read the Quran by yourself, and now it's become even more, popular in reading and reading with groups and all. But maybe in the sacred institution of marriage, it can benefit. Whereas the husband and the wife, and we talked about this on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that they can actually read together and be able to share commentary on what that Jews actually meant to them and what stood out for them. So this has a very profound effect because it changes the culture. It changes the culture and the sacred institution of marriage life. The whole atmosphere, it seemed like its own charge in regards to when Ramadan comes as a visitor, and it makes us even more conscious, regardful of what it is that God has said, and we're striving the best of our ability to do as much of it as we can and being as obedient as we can to our Lord and Creator. Khalil Akbar, you have something that you like to say or add to that?
Alhamdulillah, yes. Of course, when you are doing anything in this holy, sacred month of Ramadan, it intensifies everything that is good, all that is good, and it alleviates things that are not good, because we know at this time the shaitan, he is restricted, or as we say, locked up. We want to make sure that we do those things with our spouse that will enhance our commitment first to Allah, because it's all about Allah for me, especially right now. Just like when you're on Hajj, no sexual relations or anything like that. Allah's merciful in this, because we know that you can still have, at the end of the day, you can still have your dessert, alhamdulillah, but you make sure that that focus is for Allah and Allah only. And as you said, in reading the Quran and making salat together, your souls are becoming one. They're becoming united in faith. And that is a beautiful thing, because it allows you to worship Allah, purify your souls, and also Allah will increase the love that you have for each other, because you are putting Him first and the institution that He created first. And so it's just a win-win situation. So make sure that you are taking the time to read with your spouse, taking the time to make your tahajjud prayer, your tarawih prayers, read Quran and discuss it. Have your own tafsir on what you're reading, okay? And have regard for one another's thoughts and feelings. And just respectfully, genuinely listen without always having to comment or redirect their thoughts or what have you. Just hear their soul, because this is the purest time for all of us. We're fasting, we're restraining ourselves, and this is the cream of the crop of the person you're with. So you get to see them for who they are. So take advantage of it. Alhamdulillah.
And you know, in that process, there's a bonding. There's a bonding that happens during the time of the blessed month of Ramadan. You know, we use that word in terms of build on natural development and nurturing the growth. The blessed month of Ramadan is designed to nurture the growth in the individual. It's designed to nurture the growth in the sacred institution of marriage life. It's designed to nurture the growth in the sacred institution of family life. It's designed to nurture the growth in community life. You see, so, you know, this is very important, because this prescription is a prescription for all those who say they believe. You know, not say they believe in Allah, but they believe Allah. So what Allah is saying to us, if He prescribes it, who would know best what is best for us? And so this helps to strengthen one of the benefits. It helps to strengthen the relationship, because we have to understand, let's be clear, Allah doesn't need anything from us. He needs nothing. He's independent of everything, everybody. He's independent of His creation. His creation, including His human creation, we are dependent. We are dependent. And Allah wants us to strengthen the sacred institution of marriage. If in fact we are married, then He wants that to be strengthened. He wants that to be as healthy as it can possibly be. He wants the harmony to be there. So how does that happen? Well, the sacred institution of marriage needs to have the blessed month of Ramadan to ensure that maybe some of the things that may not would have been happening outside of the month of Ramadan, they begin to actually happen. And we're going to talk in future subsequent learning labs in regards to that. We'll talk about the spiritual benefits. We'll talk about, maybe next week, we'll talk about the emotionality. We'll talk about the intellectual, how all of that can and will evolve actually in terms of fasting in the month of Ramadan. You know, I also was thinking, I want to say to those who may have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, a special edition here for the blessed month of Ramadan with Khalil Akbar and Mark Shaheed. And the special that we have, the theme running for the whole month of Ramadan for the next 3 weeks after this session on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is marriage, how Ramadan benefits the sacred institution of marriage when two become one. That is the theme that we're on. And please press 1 if you have a question or comment. We're only going to be on for an hour tonight. It's I implemented this years ago because we want to respect everybody's Ramadan, especially those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, where you will have enough time after this production is over with to get yourself together, whether you prepare yourself for the R, if it's with family, friends, or with community, you'll have time to do that. So we want to make sure that we have a presence on IWDM Radio in this blessed month of Ramadan. So press 1, and if you have a question or comment, Rashid Salam, do we have any hands in the air at this point?
No, sir, not at this time, Mark.
Okay, and I definitely want to get something from you in this regard before I talk about in terms of some of the social benefits. We want to talk about a few of the social benefits in terms of what Ramadan brings to the sacred institution of marriage. Anything comes to your mind, Rashid?
Mark, assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak to you all. You know, when you first told me this particular title, and the first thing I thought about was the absolutely phenomenal relationship that could be established between males and females.
Yes.
In the busy days of our lives, vicissitudes of life that take place on a regular basis, we tend to be going every which way but loose. But the focus that comes into the month of Ramadan, the focus of being able to get up and spend a little time with your loved ones early in the morning before you make your prayer. And then during the course of a busy day, coming together at the end of the evening and spending that time with your husband, your wife, your children, and that interaction, that oneness to take place, that, you know, it makes all the difference in the world. It gives you a new mindset, I believe. And I think we can get back to what we talked about the other day, the normal, not the normal, but back to the natural again.
The natural.
You know, and that's what I see. Yes, there's a natural ability to function. You know, so it's a special time. It really is a special time, and I look forward to the series that take place during this month of Ramadan. And that's all I needed to say, Mark.
Well, alhamdulillah, but that's very well said because the abnormality that we see in society, it has been established as the norm, as the social norm. But for us in Al-Islam, we use what is natural or what is nature. And actually, when we talk about Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan, it is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it has also been inscribed. It has been inscribed, as we talked about, in terms of the sacred institution of family life, where our children, they see us praying, and even the toddlers, the 2-3-year-olds, the preschoolers, they are great imitators. They want to join in. And at some point, they notice that their parents are not eating. And then they ask the question, natural curiosity. It just becomes a teachable moment. And they say, I want to fast too. And, of course, we know they may not be able to do what we do. But even just little small measures in terms of maybe 2 hours or maybe 3 hours or something, time they would get a snack and they would bypass it. But then this is actually helping in their evolutionary process in growing up, and that growing up in them, this can be a great benefit. And just think about the adolescents. You know, if in fact that they learn more in terms of self-discipline, self-restraint, self-control. So we see that Ramadan can have a great impact and great benefits on every aspect of human life. So Khalil Akbar, you know, I was thinking, you know, in terms of socially, you know, there's always a social dynamic that happens in every household, husband and wife, in terms of outside of Ramadan, what they might would do in terms of entertainment. They go and Blockbuster, get movies or what. I don't know if there's still Blockbusters left or whatever, and kick back, watch certain movies, listen to certain music, maybe dance together or what, you know, in that. But the blessed month of Ramadan, Khalil Akbar, it has a great impact and positive benefits because now for some Muslims or believers, they watch very little TV, if any at all, in that regard, and maybe music that they probably would be listening to, it has been replaced by Islamic music, and we have some outstanding Muslim artists. Sawar El-Amin, you hear oftentimes is played. I would say entertainer extraordinaire, Imam Umar Siddiqui, Rashid Salam, covered all over, you know, covered with God's love, and all. And for even those younger generations, you know, we have the group, can't think of the name, the group now that does Ramadan is here. Help me out here. I had a little brain freeze. Can't think of the name of the group, but they're a very popular group. It may come to me. Nader Dean, that's who I'm thinking. Now, I love Nader Dean, and so when I want to hear some music, then I put Nader Dean on, you know, and they have great music, Islamic music and all. So it's a different culture in terms of the sacred institution of marriage that the couple can still have somewhat of a social life, but Ramadan impacts that in a very beneficial way because the words that you're hearing from the music that will be playing in your home with a different environment, atmosphere, will be words that are often coming from the Quran, from an Islamic perspective, or maybe what you're viewing, DVDs or what, or what you're listening to. You know, because the five senses actually are supposed to be fasting, too, in terms of what it is that comes into our very being. The social environment obviously is impacted in a positive way. Khalil Akbar, you'd like to chime in on that?
Yes, and inshallah is not too much of a difference from what we normally listen to and entertain ourselves with. I know I rarely watch television unless I'm watching a movie with my daughter every now and then because I just have other interests and I like to read and do other things. But not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm also very selective in the things that I watch. I'm just like that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
But I'm speaking more.
Sure.
We talk more from marriage. Yeah, we're talking more from marriage life because in some households, not all, but in some households, there's almost a TV almost in every room, and now we hear language like a man's cave and all of this. You know, hopefully we don't have Muslims is using that type of language, but I am familiar with it, and oftentimes. Just like we were speaking about meals, we're talking about the benefits that Ramadan can bring. Oftentimes you see that family members, husband and wife, don't even eat together. I mean, you know, in that regard. And sometimes even in terms of what would be considered entertainment or recreation, they may do that separately. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but what I'm saying is that this is a benefit that Ramadan actually brings to the sacred institution of marriage life. And it's good if it's already established and that's happening, if that's happening. But I think that you see that Ramadan actually impacts the sacred institution of marriage life. That's the point in terms of looking at the benefits that Ramadan brings to the sacred institution of marriage, where two become one. They have the same objective. This is very important when we say they have the same objective, and that is to please the Lord and Creator. See, in other instances, you know, we can have our own objective in terms of this or that or something else, and our spouse could have maybe a different objective, this and that. But Ramadan impacts us to the point where it's the same objective, because he didn't say, I just had this for just for women only, or I had this just for men only. No, he says, oh, you who believe. So stop right there. I often say, you know, when we read the Quran, where Allah addresses it, oh, you believe. And if we think or feel or say that I am a believer, then Allah is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to believers. Our antenna should come up. Because now, you understand, he's getting ready to say something specifically to the believer. If it wasn't a believer and a person was reading the Quran, then that wouldn't be for them to say, I'm not a believer, or I don't believe in this, or I'm an atheist, but I'm, because you gave me the Quran, I'm reading it. So they could easily ignore or reject God's signs or messages. And, you know, as we continue with the Jews each and every day, we're going to see those type of people, you understand, that reject God's sign or his message. But for the believer, we're accepting God's message, and we accept what he has prescribed for us. I mean, he's already done the diagnosis. He knows the prognosis in all of this. He knows and we know not. He's Al-Alim. He's all-knowing. He's Al-Basir. He's all-seeing. As-Sami. He's all-hearing. And so we know that he's Al-Khalik. He's our creator. Who would know us best in terms of our needs than the one who has created us? Khalil Akbar?
Absolutely, yes. And as I was saying, that's what I was alluding to, that Allah knows us best. And if we are believers, then our lives are they're amplified during the month of Ramadan, but we shouldn't be way off track that is something foreign, like changing or altering our lifestyles and our tastes altogether. And if you are indeed united in marriage, and you have selected someone of like minds and like nature who is also a believer, you're already living a clean, pure, upright life. Not saying that we're angels and we don't have, you know, things that we need to work on, but pretty much as far as morality and a set of standards for your lifestyle, there's certain things that you just don't divulge in, or you prevent coming into your household. Because I always remember my father saying that Shaitan comes right in your house through the TV. You could be living the most pristine life, and here he comes with some, it's an influence. And before you know it, you have an attitude or haughty, talking back to your spouse, et cetera, that came from someone else's situation. It's not even a reality to you. And that's how he comes at our children. So we have to make sure that we are not only modifying our lives during the month of Ramadan, but we stand guard all year round. And as you said, Brother Mark Shaheed, I understand what you're saying. Taking that time to bond, Ramadan does give us that opportunity, because we're breaking iftar, we're breaking our fast at the same time, and we're focusing solely on Allah. And it's so important, because this fast is just for Allah. This is the only thing that he asked us to do. So we're spending a lot of solitude, inshallah, and thinking on Allah and preparing and looking at ourselves. But we know that if you're married, you are a reflection of one another, and you have the opportunity to enhance each other even in Ramadan. So hopefully you have carved out those iftar times as sacred. You have made sure that it would be the days that you are nice that you decide to stay and make Tarawih prayer, and the nights that you decide that you're going to go home and have some quality time together, or whether you do both, you make the Tarawih
prayer and go home and have those relations and have the beauty that Allah allows you to have at the end of the fast, because there's benefit in that. And Allah is just not looking for us to be strict and follow it to, you just follow what he says. He's also looking for us to be obedient and to embrace the favors of our Lord. And when he grants us a mercy, to take advantage of that, because there's wisdom behind that mercy. As you said, he's the all-knowing. He's the Al-Aziz. He's the Almighty. He's the Hakim. He's the wise. And so, yes, everything we do in this month is heightened, even our conjugal relations with our spouse, even the downtime that we have at the end of the night. You can plan a movie that, of course, still has high morals. And I'm not saying you can't watch something that is entertaining and fun and also sparks interest, romanticism in you, because you want to be balanced. You want to have that, but you want to do it in the most excellent way that's still pleasing to Allah, because he's present at all times. And I'll stop there. Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, yeah. No, it don't make you imbalanced. It really, really can put balance, more balance in your life, in the sacred institution of marriage itself, in that regard. It makes you, actually, the tatakum, which is a derivative of the word taqwa, is really actually saying, in terms of, so that you may become more conscious, regardful of me, of Allah. You know, this is very, very important, because you can't have the self-discipline, the self-restraint. Just think about, you understand, what we refrain from, that we let go. These are natural things. So it gives us even more strength, more endurance, and all to be able to sustain the life that Allah wants us to have. You see, because just as your father say, we can be influenced by shaitan. We not even really be consciously aware of that. And oftentimes I hear some believers saying, well, you know, the devil is chained up. Is he chained up? Is he chained up in you? Is he chained up in me? You see, individually, that has to happen for each individual. But he's only chained up where the gates of paradise is open for us, if we're in complete obedience to what Allah has commanded of us.
No.
And what I'm also interested, do we have a caller?
Oh, no more. I'm just saying alhamdulillah, you know.
Oh, okay. Alhamdulillah. So, yeah, so when it's chained up in us, and what brings anything, a word is anything that brings a message to our mind. So shaitan can influence us and have influenced us through the five senses. This is why it's more of a conscious awareness, as you said earlier, amplified more in the blessed month of Ramadan. Not to say that we're not always on post, but you're really watching it, because you don't want any influence from shaitan. Don't think that shaitan is not trying to deter your attention as to why you are fasting. There are so many different types of fasts that people have taken, but this is the most intense fast of all the known religions, and some that you may not know. I mean, when you think about it, because of the parameters that are set, you can't come out of the blessed month of Ramadan, can't come out of it the same as you did when you went into it. And even in the sacred institution of marriage, if it was a good, strong bond, it's stronger. If it was good unity, it's even more of a union. If there was strong relativeness, it's even stronger. You see, so These are benefits. If it's good, this is a means, a way to make it even better in the sacred institution of marriage. You see, whereas and some people, I ask them, they say, Allah says fasting is for me. I say, where is that in the Quran? Do you know where that's in the Quran, Khalil Akbar?
I'm sorry. You said, I heard you say words.
Well, you hear it said, the law says fasting is for me. I said, where is that in the Quran?
I thought it was in Surah Baqarah. I'm not quite sure what ayah Surah, but I know I read it recently, so it has to be in Surah Baqarah.
Well, let me say this. It's not in the Quran. It's not in the Quran. It is in Hadith Qudsi, which is close as you can get to the Quran. It was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that reported that Allah revealed to him in terms of his servants that fasting is for me.
But
you
it
see?
Is in there, it's prescribed for you. And I'm thinking that Allah is saying
prescribed. Yeah, but no, but see, that's the difference. If we give a prescription, then if a doctor give you a prescription, Allah can give us a prescription because he's alcoholic, he's our creator. But that's not the saying. The saying is that Allah says fasting is for me. That's not in the Quran. That's what I'm telling you. I challenge anybody from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas. That came from Hadith Qudsi, which is the highest form of Hadith, because it's what Allah revealed, but it's not Quran, it's not revelation in that regard. But it's Sahih, is very solid in regards to that. And oftentimes, people, even Muslims, they misinterpret that. Because if we say that Allah is independent of everything and everybody in that regard, does it diminish Allah? Enhance Allah if we don't fast, if we don't pray, if we don't pay zakat, if we don't bear witness, if we don't make hajj? No, it doesn't affect Allah any. It doesn't diminish, nor does it enhance him. You know, for me, in other words, to get closer to me. That is what Allah is saying, to get closer to me in terms of my word, my will, and my way for you. You see? That's what it means in that regard. I'm just giving this in a very simple way. I could go deeper into that, but a hint to the wise is sufficient. It's not for Allah. It's actually for you to get closer to Allah. And this is why we fast in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. That's my theme, the seventh year. Started on the sister station AM 360 when I hosted the CWSC roundtable. It's continued this year for the third year on IWDM radio in regards to fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So we can now we can look at it and we can have hopefully a better understanding that it's not for Allah, but it is designed for to get you closer to what God's word is, what his will is, and what his way. That is how we get to learn more in terms of self-restraint, self-control, self-management, and self-discipline. You see, and it helps to return us back to our original nature. And this is why we can celebrate Eid al-Fitr, the recurring happiness to the return of the original nature of the human being as Allah created Adam, which we were all Adam in the very beginning, the Adam's family, if you want to put it like that. And there's a little smile probably come on your face in that regard. But this is very, very important that we understand that we have to be true to the nature in which Allah created us in from the very beginning. You see? So this, you know, when it's fasting for Allah, is fasting so you can get closer to what Allah's will is, because He created us, and He created us with an aim and a purpose. Very, very important. So as we wind down here, I tell you, I would go fast, you know, on this special edition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And the theme of throughout, once again, those who just tune in late, it is Ramadan and how it benefits the sacred institution of marriage when two become one. And, you know, if there is not the unity that's there, or, you know, there's so much that's going on, maybe in the sacred institution of marriage, but both are believers or whatever, you know, in terms of their relationship, then Ramadan can help to bring about that benefit if both are really believers, not say they believe in Allah, but they believe Allah, because Allah is addressing us and He's given us the framework. He says who can fast and who should fast and who shouldn't fast if, in fact, that they're not qualified to fast. So Allah does not want any hardship for any of us. He only, you understand, wants the best for us, and He knows what's best for us, and He's the only one that's qualified to give this prescription, because He's already gave the diagnosis and the prognosis in terms of how we would benefit, not that Allah benefits from it, you see. So like the young people used to say, don't get it twisted. We're the one that's going to be benefiting from it, and in the end, we can have an Eid al-Fitr. Alhamdulillah. So, Khalil Akbar, I want to give you a last opportunity for any closing remarks. That this is just the introduction, and next week, inshallah, I want to say to our radio listening audience that we're going to look at the emotionality, how Ramadan can have a positive effect on the emotionality, how it can benefit us as emotional creatures in the sacred institution of marriage, you see. And then we'll be looking at how Ramadan can benefit us intellectually, rationally, intellectually. And, yes, we want to look at how Ramadan can have a positive effect in terms of our spirituality in the sacred institution of marriage. This is when two become one, because this is for both, but it's also impacting the sacred institution of marriage life. Khalil Akbar, if you would.
Yes. Yes, and I do want to close out. I have closing remarks, and I have a poem called United Through Faith. I also wanted to say, as we're out at the masjid, we're in our personal best because we're in prayer. We're intermingling more with people. Allah has already thought this out, okay? He is Al-Akbar. We're intermingling closely with each other. We're seeing each other every day. We're, you know, socializing. So, inshallah, when people are seeking marriage, it increases your opportunity to find a compatible mate for marriage. So make sure that your eyes and ears are open and that you are doing this peace to be Allah, and ask Allah to guide you if that's what you are seeking, and pray that prayer. Make sure you're making that with your prayer. And also, if I notice that for me, it's almost like a calm subduing of the spirit, and it's bringing you back naturally to your whatever you are naturally. Like, I'm naturally a calm and just a very not optimistic, but just a calm and thought provoking person, and I like to observe a lot before I usually talk. So I witnessed that. Now I'm feeling back to my normal self. I don't have to say a whole lot. I observed somebody who was blowing up over something that was real trivial, and I was like, if only they were fasting. You could see through spiritual eyes. It's so trivial. It doesn't even – and I'm like, the calmness that I feel, I wish I could give that person a piece of what I'm feeling right now, but I did make dua for them. Really.
You could give it to them, man.
It was the first day of Ramadan for me, and they're cussing.
Yeah.
I'm fasting. They just have no clue of what they're missing out on. So we have
to
make dua for them.
Let me say this. Keep your thought right there, because what was it? Was it yesterday's reading? And one of the things that was said in the Juzah, that Allah said that you have to consent to be guided, that you have to give consent to be guided. Now, all the years, you know, every year that you read the Quran, as you well know, Khalil Akbar, there's going to be something that's going to stand out in your mind. It's been there all the time, but it really hits you, you see. So you have to consent to be guided. See, Allah guides whom he pleases. But who do you think he guides whom he pleases? Do you think he just discriminate, just to discriminate? No, you have to consent to want to be guided. Why are you saying that, Mark Shahid? Easy. He created us with a free will, a limited free will. He's not going to go against his creation. So if you consent, in other words, when you have a free will, that means that you can choose to be guided. You can choose to accept what God gives, or you can choose to reject.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I tell you, I think that that resonated with some of the believers that heard it. But when Allah blessed me with it, I said, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. See, so his revelation and creation does not conflict. Please continue. Yes. I just had to say that because even if you could do it, I mean, you know, if that was practical that you could do it, they would have the consent to want to accept that. That's my point. And some people that have out of control, they won't even consent to even have that calm that you have. You see, they have to consent for that. Yes, ma'am.
And
go
also
ahead.
Going back to what you were saying, we know it has been communicated that fasting diminishes sexual desire. So Allah, even in that saying abstaining from your spouse, he gives you a mercy in that, because it truly does, and it builds those muscles of self-discipline and control, mind over matter in certain situations. And then he gives you that mercy at the end that you can still enjoy it in a halal way with your spouse. But if you are not married, of course the fasting is benefiting you. It is, you know, restraining that sexual desire, keeping it in check, until Allah blesses you with that spouse. And so, if I may, I'm going to go ahead and read United Through Faith.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The day we have been waiting for is now finally here. My heart is filled with so much joy. My soul is filled with cheer. You are as unique and beautiful to me as the day that we first met. The day our souls unite as one, I'll cherish and never forget. For Allah has blessed us to find true love, a rarity indeed. All praises due to Allah, we have fulfilled half of our deen. When I look in your eyes, I see wisdom, love, and purity. Knowing I have you in my life brings pride and security. Allah has kept us in his mercy and grace, keeping our bond growing through Islamic studies and faith. If there were ever a doubt in my mind that this was my destiny, Allah would show me a sign confirming you were the mate for me. You are my sunshine. You brighten up every aspect of my life. Your radiance gives me inner peace, a feeling of warmth, comfort, and delight. I am your rain, creating a wholesome, fertile environment that will allow you to grow and sustain. Allah has united us for serving his will. With Allah's help, our goals are attainable and our desires will be fulfilled. Assalamu alaikum, and that's it.
Alaikum assalam. I want to say takbir. Allah wa akbar. And if there's those that's listening that are not Muslim, when I say takbir, that simply means glorify God. Glorify God. And the response is God is greater, bigger, and more important. What we heard was an outstanding poem from, I want to call our portrait extraordinaire, Khalil Akbar. That's a beautiful, beautiful poem. That's something that I would want to commit to memory. So, alhamdulillah. I want to close this out with my own personal dua. I'll say it in the plural in regards to my dua each and every day. And it doesn't, you know, there was two beautiful duas, one that ended the Jews, the second Jews in Surah Baqarah, and there was another beautiful dua in terms of not allowing our heart to deviate in Surah Ali Imran, the family of Imran. But you can have your own dua, you know, it's beautiful duas in the Quran. And the dua, for those who don't know, is when you're asking and requesting something from your Lord and Creator. But this is my dua, and I'm going to say it in the plural form. It's a dua for all of us. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, O Allah, please guide my mind, my heart, and my spirit to be in accord with your will. And, O Allah, please continuously increase me in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word, your will, and your way, that I might become a better servant unto you by performing the work that would be pleasing to you and your cause. O Allah, only allow me to hear, to see, to think, to say, and to do that which you would have me to do, with the spirit that you will have me to do it with. O Allah, forever guide me, direct me, correct me, protect me, now and always. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. And we want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in, because without you, there would not be IWDM Radio and productions such as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and other entities that we have here on IWDM Radio. And we want you to know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. And before we do that, I got to give my very distinguished, esteemed co-host Khalil Akbar opportunity to inform you in regards to her production. I know that it's in the evening. So Khalil Akbar, still going to have a presence on AM 360 during the month of Ramadan. Please inform our radio listeners, if you would, please. Khalil Akbar?
I think she accidentally dropped Mark.
Did she drop? Okay. All right. Maybe she'll get back.
I don't think it was intentional.
Yeah, no, she might have. It's a new phone that she's operating with. So the beat goes on. Tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah, a day Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back here to IWDM Radio with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, from Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Sarah D., it is the Muslim Book Reading Club. Yes, the Muslim Book Reading Club. That's each and every Saturday, hosted by Imam Mikhail Sahir. And a two-volume book, and I understand that the third volume is in publishing on our honorable First Lady and mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. It will be just for 1 hour only in the blessed month of Ramadan. Please take note that the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, has been moved to Saturday in the month of Ramadan. And it will begin at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And the theme for the seventh year in a row is fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. You don't want to miss that. And one of our very learned imams in the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, one of the first scribes in the addresses and lectures of Imam Muhammad, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed out of Miami, Florida. He has agreed to be my guest and looking forward to dialoguing with him on that thing, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. You don't want to miss that. You will enjoy Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. So that's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time for the MGM Roundtable held on Saturday only in the month of Ramadan. So make sure you get that information out to your family and friends and other community members. Sunday, the longest running production, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People. Yes, Words Make People you can get each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Monday, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts a very interesting and informative production called ABC, Al-Islam-Based Conversation. There's a variety of topics that are talked about each and every Monday evening, and he's on the Ramadan schedule. He will be airing at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. It will be a one-hour production, so you don't want to miss that Al-Islam-based conversation, Imam Nazim Pasha. The very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam is the engineering for me tonight. He has his own very distinguished esteemed production, along with his off-returning guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed out of the ATL, the Jewel of the South, Atlanta, Georgia, joins him each and every Tuesday. And they're also on the Ramadan schedule as they look to do more in 2024. They scaled it back for 1 hour. You'll be able to tune in and listen in at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, only in the month of Ramadan, because after it's all said and done, we'll return to our regular time. But please help us get the information out to those who want to tune in and listen. It's some great information, and I think they are centered around the blessed month of Ramadan, also their production that they have on Tuesday, I would say late Tuesday afternoon, maybe early Tuesday evening for some. Wednesday, it is the sister learning lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that would be the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with a very distinguished and esteemed co-host. That would be Rashid Salam, as he's sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slow Dean, as Allah has blessed her to be able to spend Ramadan there in Medina with her daughter and her son-in-law. And I think she's been gone almost a half a month or so. So it'll be another month and a half, close to a month and a half, before she'll be returning to the airwaves of IWDM Radio. I think something like April the 24th. And I know we miss her, but never fear, Rashid Salam is here and doing an excellent job as co-hosting the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that learning lab also will be for 1 hour, 1 hour only, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And it has a similar theme, Ramadan, the benefit. How Ramadan benefits the sacred institution of family life, how it benefits and galvanizes the sacred institution of family life. So please tune in for Rashid Salam and Mark Shaheed for that. And so that brings us to tonight. And inshallah, Khalil Akbar and myself, we'll be looking forward to next Thursday as we want to look at how Ramadan actually impacts and benefits us emotionally, as we are emotional creatures. And if our sister Khalil Akbar is back, I want to give her opportunity to disseminate information in her outstanding production on our sister station, AM 360. Khalil Akbar, are you there?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Narrative Aspirations, join us each and every Wednesday night, inshallah, as we highlight the believers in our community who use their God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people. 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Press 1 with questions or comments. We're looking forward to having some excellent couples who are working their Khalifa mission together.
So, Leila Akbar, will you be keeping the same time during Ramadan, or your schedule would change, or is it the same time? So please make sure you inform the radio listener audience as to the time, if you would, please.
Yes. I did keep my time. And what
okay.
I do is, you know, I just modify. I play a recording. We have Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Alale. And then I have some other really nice recordings that I found in reference to Ramadan that I'll play when I'm breaking fast and making prayer, or et cetera. But keeping it short
okay.
and modifying the amount of time that I speak. But you're also going to get some excellent presentations. So tune in. And then after that, we have Tadawir Prayer. My show is going into the Tadawir Prayer piece with Imam Abdulaziz out of Bronx, New York. That is, he's the imam that AM360 is using again because he's part of the staff, and then he's also consistent and reliable. So that's what you're going to hear at the end of the program. He's going to go into his Isha and then the Tadawir, and then I'll play Imam W.D. Muhammad until we go on out. So, yes,
okay.
That's the modification.
So, okay,
thank
so
you.
Alhamdulillah. So what time will your production come on? I'll be able to tune in also. So what time does your production come on? This coming Wednesday.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same time.
7 p.m. Eastern and 6. So it's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 6 p.m. Central, and it'll be 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on our sister station, American Muslim 360. So please tune in for Narrative Aspiration. As we aspire, we go high. So thank you so much, Khalil Akbar, for sharing your insight and wisdom each and every Thursday here on IWDM Radio. And a special thanks go to my brother and friend. I'm going to have to buy him another lunch or so after Ramadan in terms of being an assistant and engineer tonight, Rashid Salam. So nothing else to be said. We want you to know, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Wa Ramadan. Alright. alaikum.